This course is Christ the Healer. Who can tell me what our two main texts are for this course? By his stripes ye are healed. Himself bore our infirmities and carried away our diseases. So those two main texts tell us God's will. They also establish that it is past tense, meaning he has already accomplished that work. He's already accomplished everything that's required for healing. We've got a lot to cover on the area of healing tonight. So we're going to go ahead and jump right in to the woman, sometimes called the woman with the issue of blood. So I want you to open up to Mark chapter 5. That's Mark chapter 5. We want to look at verses starting in about 25. Now I'm going to go ahead and read this in the New American Standard because that's what I use. We're going to start at verse 25. We'll go to about verse 34. And a woman who had had a hemorrhage for 12 years and had endured much at the hands of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was not helped at all, but rather had grown worse. Verse 27. After hearing about Jesus, came up in the crowd behind him and touched his cloak. For she thought, King James says, she said, Amplified says, she kept saying, if I just touch his garments, I shall get well. And immediately the flow of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. And immediately Jesus, perceiving in himself that the power proceeding from him had gone forth, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my garments? And his disciples said to him, you see the multitude pressing in on you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see the woman who had done this. But the woman, fearing and trembling, aware of what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. Verse 34. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Now, there are several things that I want you to see in this text. Let's go ahead and just start in the beginning, and let's look at verse 27. After hearing about Jesus, how does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So she had to first hear something for faith to come. She had heard about Jesus. She had probably heard about the signs and the wonders and the miracles and the healings that he'd been doing. So she had had, faith had grown and expectation had grown. So she went seeking for Jesus. So you need to know that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of Christ. That's Romans 10:17. It's the verse passage that talks about how shall they hear if a preacher isn't sent. So preacher's got to be sent for them to hear about the word of God. The word of God's got to be preached for them to have faith, for them to be able to believe to be saved, for them to believe to have healing. So faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Now, let's move down and look at that verse. Verse 28. Now, my text right here says, she thought. That's not a very accurate translation because it says, she thought, but then it puts parentheses as though it's a quote from someone saying it. And then when I look in Matthew of my text, it says, she said. So it's the same account. More accurate is she said. And Amplified, King James says, she said. Amplified says she kept saying. Now, mine implies self-talk here. And when I look at Matthew in New American Standard, it says that she said she was saying like she was saying to herself. So she's giving herself some self-talk here. What is she doing? Confessing. She's declaring what's going to happen. So she's saying, Amplified, she kept saying, if I but touch his garment, I shall be well. Now, what was she doing? She was finding a point of contact to release her faith. When this happens, I'm going to get healed. So all she had to do was get to Jesus. When I touch. And notice, she said, when I touch his garments. She didn't even have to touch him, just his garments. When I touch his garments, I'm going to be made well. That was a point of contact to release her faith. That's what she's doing. And she's talking to herself. She's confessing. She's saying what's going to happen. It's important because what we see, basically a consistent confession here. She's declaring, this is what's going to happen. And that's her faith speaking. Now, as we keep going, let's keep looking at this, because this text tells us a lot about healing and a lot about faith. Jesus, perceiving in himself that power proceeded from him. It had gone forth. But he turns around and he says, who touched me? Or who touched my garments? Now, why does he do that? Do you know that Jesus did not know who touched him like that? Now, this tells us something about the will of God. He did not know who had touched him like that. But somebody touched him with faith. So this has nothing to do about God being inconsistent in his will to heal or not heal someone. What this is actually going to show us is it's going to show consistent, permanent will of God to heal. But the individual's faith has something to do with it. How do we know it is a consistent, permanent will of God to heal? Because she got healed and he didn't even know who had touched him. But he knew somebody had touched him because virtue, King James says, power had gone out of him. The disciples basically say, you're asking who touched you? The crowd is pressing in on you. Now, if a crowd is pressing in on you, literally pressing in on you, it means that there were other people touching Jesus. But there's no story, no account of them getting healed here. Why? They weren't touching him with faith. Maybe they were just wanting to be close to him. Maybe they didn't want healing. Maybe they didn't need healing. But what we do know is this woman wanted healing. This woman believed for healing and believed that when she touched his garments, she would be healed. Jesus did not come into a prayer of agreement with her. Jesus did not lay hands on her. He did not know who had touched him. Do you understand what happened? The power was present for healing. What activated it was a touch of faith. And that's when healing flowed. He wasn't qualifying or disqualifying anyone for healing. He didn't know who had done it. So what activated it? Faith. That woman's faith. When she touched him, she got what she said. Right? We learned about that in the words class. She got exactly what she said. She touched his garments, and when she touched his garments, virtue, power went out of him, and she was healed. Now, how do we know it was her faith that activated it? Well, all those things lead up to that I just shared with you, but we also know because Jesus tells us himself. If we go down to verse 34, it says, and he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Daughter, your faith. He didn't say, daughter, my power. He didn't say, my great ability, my healing ability. Now, is it his ability? Yes. Is it his healing ability? Yes. But what triggers it, what activates it, is faith, because the power is always there. The power of God is available in this room right now. The power of God is always available to you right now. You remember when I told you about that healing, about being healed of scoliosis, curvature of the spine, and me thinking, well, if God could heal me tomorrow, he could heal me now. And so I asked, and boom, because suddenly it dawned on me, well, if he can do it tomorrow, then he could do it today. He could do it now. And so there was a switch there of bringing it into now. He could do it now. Now, this woman touched him with faith, and he says, daughter, your faith has made you well. So let's go ahead and take a look at the definition of faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. And let me give this to you. Many of the healing accounts in the Gospels mention something about the individual's faith. Over 50% of all the testimonies that we have, the accounts of somebody being healed, mention the individual's faith. So I think that that tells us something. God's trying to get us a message. Faith has something to do with people receiving healing. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Let me read that to you in the Amplified. I think it's even clearer. It says, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. What does that mean? It means you believe you have it before you see it. When you can get yourself to the point of believing you have it before you can see it with the natural senses, it's granted. Remember Mark chapter 11, verse 23, 24? Whoever says to this mountain, be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Therefore, I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they shall be granted. Again, believe you have received it, and it shall be granted. It's a past tense again. So what's pleasing to God is faith. It's this whole thing of believing it before you can see it. Anybody, see, it doesn't take faith to believe you have it when you can see it, because that's knowledge. That's a knowing. You know you have it. You can see it. You can feel it. But what faith does is faith says, I'll believe it based on the word of God that I have it. I will cling to the scripture as being the truth, even over what I may feel in my body or see with my eyes. I will cling to the word of God and say the word of God is the truth. Now, it doesn't mean that symptoms don't exist. And see, even after I've taught this, I just heard somebody that graduated say, I told them to say, you know, I'm not sick. And I'm thinking, oh, no, that's not what I taught you. You don't say, I'm not sick. That's a lie. We need to understand the difference here. You've got to confess what the Word of God says. The Word of God doesn't say, I'm not sick. Yeah, the Word of God doesn't say, I have no pain. The Word of God says, by His stripes I'm healed. The Word of God says, Himself bore my infirmities and carried my diseases. Don't go around saying, I'm not sick, if you are. Do you understand? That's not the point here. You're to confess what the Word says. Your faith is based on the Word of God. I'm healed. The Word of God says, I'm healed. The Word of God says, I'm healed. No matter what I see, no matter what I feel, the Word of God says, I'm healed. The Word of God says, I'm healed. I'm clinging to the Word of God as being the higher truth. Higher over what's going on in the natural, in the sense realm. Because the Word of God, what? It never fails. It never fails. The Word of God never fails. So His Word is truth. As long as you cling to His Word, you're giving Him something to perform in you. You're giving Him something to work with. But as soon as you start confessing a lot of the symptoms, somebody says they don't feel good. Oh, they can't stop coughing. What are they doing? It's like an open door to Mr. Devil. What are they saying? They can't stop coughing. We got to be so careful with our words in this. Now, I'm not saying deny what's going on, but what I am saying is try to put the Word of God in. Put the Word of God in. Do you see the difference here? What does the Word of God say? And the Bible says to fight the good fight of faith. Sometimes people will get it like that. And sometimes there's a little bit more of a battle. But that, see, I heard somebody say, well, I tried that and that didn't work. You don't try the Word of God. The Word of God is the truth. The Word of God works. Maybe somebody didn't try hard enough or long enough, or they weren't able to move themselves into a position of faith. But that doesn't mean the Word of God doesn't work. That's what they're doing is calling God a liar. God's not a liar. Either He took your sicknesses or He didn't. And the reality is, He took your sicknesses. But understand this. In the same way that He took your sicknesses, He also is called the Savior of all men. But not all men have received that. He's the Savior of all men, especially of believers. Right? Because they're the ones that have been able to partake and receive of what He's done. He already did healing for you. He's already performed it. All you got to do is get yourself to tap in and understand and believe that it's done. It's not by works. And so if we can come to God like a child and just receive, and it's not something to get worked up about. It's just something that know that He loves you, but He doesn't heal based on loving you. He heals based on faith. So if we can go to Him in childlike faith, Father, I thank You for everything You did for me. I thank You that my body lines up with You right now. I thank You that You've healed me. I thank You that I receive everything that You have for me, and that right now I'm healed in Your name. I thank You for Your healing power working mightily in my body right now. I thank You that every cell, every part of my being lines up with Your perfect Word. And I receive the benefits and the promises of Your Word. Your Word is truth, and I claim Your Word over my body. You know, the parts I know about how they're functioning and all those inside parts that are doing everything You created them to do that do it without me even knowing what they're doing. But they do what they're supposed to do. And I thank You, Father God, they do it exactly the way You created them to do it. They're all lined up. I thank you for that. So if we can go to God like children do, it's easy. And you know, if you get your brain working too hard on it, you can start psyching yourself out, right? But we're not supposed to psych ourselves out. Just go to him like a child. Go to him like a child. Father, I thank you that this is a gift you have for me. I thank you that I'm healed. I'm healed. Now, it takes some time, and you say, well, yeah, you know, I can kind of say that, but, you know, I haven't seen that happen yet. Well, okay, you haven't seen the manifestation of it yet, but that doesn't mean quit. I believed God for a car for 2 years. It was a long 2 years, but I never quit, and I finally got one. Okay, so it just depends, you know, depends how poor you are as to how long that's going to take, okay? What kind of big miracle you are. And at the time, we were at the bottom. We were Bible school students, right? And we had one car. And I kept confessing, I've got a car. I've got a car. I've got a car. Thank you, Father, for my car. Somewhere along that line, I'd been confessing it. But at a certain point, and I heard Brother Hagin talk about this often more than once, but he said it was like this old-fashioned illustration. We don't even use these anymore, hardly. But he said it was like a coin dropping in a payphone. And I never really understood what that mean until I had it happen to me. I was believing God for that car. Now, believing God for a car is really not very different from believing God for healing, okay? And I'd been confessing it. I'd been saying it. Did I see it? No. Did I see the finances change? No. Did I see anything change? No. Was I still without a car? Yes. Did I like it? No. Okay? You know, you go 2 years without a car? I didn't go without a car when I was a kid. Hello. I didn't like it, okay? But one day, in confessing it, it was like that coin dropping in the payphone. And it was like my confession went out. I said, I've got a car, Father. I thank you for that car. I thank you for my car. And it was like, and it was like it registered in my spirit. I've got a car. And it was like I had gotten it into my spirit, where my spirit had gotten hold. Faith is of the, spirit or heart. I'd been working, I'd been doing my part, I'd been confessing, I'd been saying it, I'd been diligent to keep my confession lined up, just saying it, but one day it dropped in here. And then it wasn't very long after that I had the opportunity and I got a car. But it took some diligence to keep saying what I knew I needed to say to stay lined up where God could bring blessing and provision. My grandfather gave me a check for $5,000. He'd never given me that kind of money before. And then I got a little bit of a loan for the other part. And so then we paid that off, and I had a little white Toyota convertible. I was very happy. But listen, I said it probably for a year. You're not going to want to hear me. It just depends where you're at, right? I kept saying it, and one day it will register in your spirit, and then you will have it. Because you've got to get it in the spirit first, right? So I just didn't quit. Now, healing for that curvature of the spine, boom, came like that. Healing for chronic fatigue syndrome, I had to confess. I had to stand. I had to fight the good fight of faith. I had a bit more of a battle. I'm not really sure why, but I had to stand my ground. And you may not want to hear this. That one probably took me about a year or two. I fought it. It got better, but it was a gradual thing, and I had to keep claiming it. I remember laying on that floor feeling so fatigued. How am I going to get up? How am I going to do this? But I got up, and I kept saying, I'm strong in the Lord, and the strength of his might. I'm strong in the Lord, and the strength of his might. There's no cure for that. They don't know how to cure that. And now I have tons of energy. I mean, I'm healed. But I want to teach us in such a way that you don't think for 1 week or 2 weeks. And then you quit thinking the Word of God doesn't work. It really depends where you're at. Nor do I want to discourage you and make you think it's going to take a year to get something. I also don't want to make you think that. You know, the more childlike faith you've got, the quicker you can grab a hold of these things. But it's important for me to share all these different stories so that you'll understand how to take this and apply this, okay? So that you don't quit, you don't give up. I know that, boy, I have so much. I'm going to share this because I think it was just a really good learning lesson for me. I used to have very bad cramps once a month, so bad that, you know, before I learned about healing, I was taking lots of the, I don't know, some Advil or I don't know, something, some type of pain reliever thing. And I realized, this isn't very good, man. I'm really starting to take a lot of these pills. And then it got to the point that the pills weren't really even working very much anymore. Anyway, the pain was so bad that I would curl up in bed at night and cry. And I couldn't even stay in the bed. I ended up having to get out of the bed and get on the floor just so I wouldn't wake Brad up. It's amazing that pain can be that bad, but pain can be that bad. Then we went to Rhema, and I started realizing, I don't have to have pain. I don't have to feel bad. Now listen, that's gone now too. He's healed me of that too. But this was a very interesting way to learn, because I had the opportunity every month to learn. How am I doing? How am I doing in this battle? How am I doing in this battle? Without being, see, wiped out from some type of a sickness where you're too tired to even get into faith or confess or any of those things. So I started applying my faith. I remember one time walking in, and here's just to let you know, it really helped me see the source of things. One time I was feeling, you know, pain in my back. I was hurting. I was in pain, and I was going to church anyway. And I remember I walked. We lived close at one point. So I walked into the church building. When I walked into the congregation, just the atmosphere there was so power charged with faith and God that all pain left me. Isn't that interesting? Now listen to this. By the time this, and I felt great, had a great service. Service was over, and now I'm starting to walk home, and I can feel that pain starting to come back on me. I'm starting to hurt. That just tells me, you know, this is not, what it told me is it wasn't even a natural thing. Do you understand what I'm saying? It wasn't even a natural physical thing that was going on. I thought, oh, no, you don't, devil. You're not coming back on my body. You're a liar, and you're a thief. You're trying to rip off how I feel. Oh, no, you don't. You get away from me in Jesus' name. And I stood and I fought that. I won't take pain. I don't allow pain on my body. You've got no right. You're trespassing on the temple of God. And I don't allow it in Jesus' name. And it was like, do you understand? I want you to get what the fight is like sometimes, okay? I suddenly realized there's an enemy. There's an opponent. This isn't a natural thing here. And this certainly isn't something God's doing or allowing. Walking into God's presence showed me he didn't want that. It couldn't even be in the same room with that much of the presence of God. So it was like the light bulb going on for me, and I got it. And after that, every month I stood, oh, no, you don't. I rebuke you. And there were times I'd start to feel it. I'd say, no, I resist that in Jesus' name. I don't allow that on my body. Oh, no, you don't. And I had to stand my ground. I don't allow you. Would I pray? However long it took. Sometimes a day. Sometimes that first day. I refused to yield to that. And never saying anything negative. I never even telling my husband how bad I felt. Just I don't allow you. I won't yield to that. You cannot be on my body. And I could feel this kind of, and I'd win. And then it took me a couple months, not that long, right? Because, I mean, it was only a couple days anyway, right? A month where I'd feel like that, okay? So it gave me I thank God for the opportunity, not the pain, not the bad, but the learning lesson I had in it. Because I really got to see the source of sickness, the source of pain, and learned how to fight it. Learned how to resist it. And so I have no pain and haven't for years and years and years. And then one time, just to let you know, the devil's sneaky. Many years have gone by. That was when did I graduate from Bible school? 90, in the 90s, 92 maybe, somewhere in there, okay? It was a long time ago. One time after Chad was born, 1 month, it was just like, boom. And I started hurting. And I hadn't hurt for years. And I thought, oh, what'd I do? I took my position again, put up my dukes. Oh, no, you don't. I know who you are. You're not trespassing on my body. Oh, no. I'm standing my ground. No, you don't. I don't allow you. See, sometimes Christians get overrun because they don't know their rights. What does the devil come to do? Steal, kill, destroy. And what does he do? He roams around like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. Who may he devour? Can he really devour the Christians? No. But if they don't know that, and they don't know their rights in God, they don't know that they can stand against him and say, no, I don't allow you. seeking whom he may devour. And we don't want to be in that may category. No, no. So it's important for us to know the source. And it's important for us to know how to stand. And I want to tell you some of these personal experiences so that you can understand how to stand, how to fight. Lynn Peterson was in her workplace, and everybody around her was sick. Brad shared this story before in church. Everybody around her was sick, saying they were coming down with the flu. They're all coming down with the flu. And she just thought, praise God, that lady knows how to apply her faith. She just said, I'm the picture of health. She felt horrible. She was swallowing. She could start to feel it as she swallowed, and she started not to feel good. She never confessed how she felt. She said, I am the picture of health. She said she fought it all day at her workplace. She just stood against it. What do I mean? She was still doing her work. Every once in a while, she'd quote scripture under her breath, or she'd read a passage of scripture. She wrote it on index cards, put it on her computer, next to her computer screen. By his stripes, I'm healed. You know, things like this. She was doing things like this to help herself through that day. By the end of the day, she went home healthy, but she stood that day. I've had it. I remember being in a parking lot in Oklahoma, and I was going into the mall. I was about to go into the mall, and suddenly I felt, now again, sometimes it can be a natural thing, and sometimes it's not just a natural body thing. Sometimes there's, you know, there's a source behind it. About to go into the mall, and suddenly it was like I swallowed, and it hurt to swallow. And I thought, gee, and it started clogging up. And I thought, well, what is that all about? It's hurting to swallow. And you know the thought that goes through your mind first, right? You think, I'm getting sick. Okay. Oh, no, I'm getting sick. But I knew not to say that. I knew not to, nobody was with me anyway, but it wouldn't have mattered. But it would have mattered. I knew not to say that. But I also knew something that comes on that fast, that's not a natural thing. And so, again, what did I do? Oh, no, you don't, devil. Get off my body. In Jesus' name. Listen, I felt it immediately lift like that. Immediately that thing lifted off of me. What was he doing? Seeking whom he may devour. Why? Because he wants to steal, kill, destroy. And so you've got to know your rights, your legal rights before God. Here's something else I do. If I think, gee, God, maybe I've missed it somewhere, I repent. Father, if I've missed it anywhere, if I know I've missed it, then I confess exactly what it is I've missed it in. But if I'm not aware of anything, you know, Father, if I've missed it anywhere, if I've sinned anywhere, I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to wash me clean. You know, and if there's anything that I need to know of to confess specifically, I ask you to bring it to my remembrance now. Is there anything specific? And if he brings something, you deal with it. And if he doesn't bring anything, you know you're clean. You know you're in right standing with God. And you stand. And you rebuke the devil. Submit to God. Resist the devil. And he will flee. But to resist, you know, it would be interesting for us to do a study on that word resist. Resist, I don't think the word resist is a very passive word. To resist something. Well, I don't know what those are, but we ought to check this out. To resist something is not a little passive thing. To resist, to stand against, right? So you're to resist the devil. Resist the devil. That means you stand the line. You decide where that line is drawn. That line is drawn where the Word of God says it is. That means I'm not having any devil come into my house. I'm not having any devil do anything on my body or to my body. This is God's property. I was bought with a price. I am the temple of God. The stuff that I have are possessions that are mine, that were given to me, that are submitted to the Lord. So they're under his lordship. So the devil doesn't have a right to take my stuff or damage my stuff. And that certainly goes for my body and my family. Do you see? So we resist the devil. We've got a little bit of time. Well, let's go ahead and turn here. Matthew 9:29. And here we see that two blind men get healed. Jesus is passing on from there, and two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, have mercy on us, son of David. And after he had come into the house, the blind man came up to him, and Jesus said to them, do you believe that I am able to do this? They said to him, yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, be it done to you according to your faith. There we see it again. And their eyes were opened. There we see it. Jesus said to them, be it done to you according to your faith. And their eyes were opened. They believed he could do it. They had faith. He said, be it done to you according to your faith. He didn't say, be it done to me according to my power. He didn't say, be it done to you according to my ability. Did he? He did not say, be it done to you according to my ability. He said, be it done to you according to your faith. And what is that? Your faith in his ability. So it still is in him, because your faith is in him, your faith is in the word, your faith is in God. But he was showing them that they had a part in it. They had a part to play. Now, let's go ahead and go down to verse 35, and let's look at what Jesus was doing here. And Jesus was going about all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Let me read that again. Healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Now skip down since we're there, chapter 10, verse 1. And having summoned his 12 disciples, he gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Now, you're his disciple, so that means you have authority to heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. If Jesus delegated authority to his disciples, them, those 12 then and us now, to heal every kind of sickness and every kind of disease, it means he wants every kind of sickness and every kind of disease healed. This was not something that just God was doing, but he now gave the authority to his disciples to do that. What kind of authority? Authority to heal every kind of sickness and every kind of disease. Every kind of sickness and every kind of disease. How many sicknesses? How many diseases? Every kind of sickness and every kind of disease. Isn't that good news?
Yes.
That is good news. That is very good news. Now, I want to show you some things here, though. So we're going to go ahead and I'm going to turn to, well, no, what we'll do, we'll break right here and then we'll come back and pick that up.